Thanks for tuning in to our podcast, Leaders, Followers, and everything in between. We love having you here. It is our mission to bring you all of the latest and greatest tips and skills and know-how and how to make your personal life and business life the very best it can be. We know that you have it in you. We believe in you. We just want to show you how. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my special guest. And welcome to another episode of Leaders, Followers, and Everything in Between. Today we have a very special guest. We have Bridget Case, who is a former cheerleader and also a former journalist. And currently she is a podcaster of After Oranges Podcast. So everyone, please welcome Bridget. How are you?
I'm good, Gibson. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing blessed. And I'm looking at your hat right there. Is that a Super Bowl hat?
Oh, yeah. This is a Super Bowl hat. Yeah. Really. This is the only hat I have in the car right now. My hair is really dirty.
Were you at the Super Bowl?
Yeah. But I wasn't at the game, but I was at Super Bowl week this year, yeah.
That's fun. That was a fun game, and we got a chance to be there and participate, and it was pretty cool. Anyways, so let's jump right in. So tell me, what's your native story?
Oh, I don't know where to start. Gosh,
because I always ask people that, and I always try to do it like a superhero, right? Like, you know how like Spider-Man gets bitten and he becomes like, you know, this amazing, you know, rescue hero. So I always try to like say, like, just if your life was like a comic or a story, how would you start it? Just give me like the Reader's Digest, like how would like the first page start?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to be a journalist since a very young age. I started a newspaper in elementary school. I was the only one who worked on the newspaper, and I covered sports on the playground. The biggest sport to cover, of course, was tag, the game of tag. So that was like my big, I think, defining moment at a really young age where I always wanted to write. And I didn't know, honestly, that I wanted to be on television until I was older. But I always had two passions. For me, it was dance. I was a competitive dancer all my life. And then, of course, sports, like my sports world outside of dance. So just being a huge sports fan in general, I grew up in a crazy sports family, and I just was immersed in sports culture at a very, very young age. So once I got to college, I was able to marry those two passions and be an Oregon cheerleader, cheer in a national championship game, cheer in 3 VCS bowl games, which was really special. And so getting to marry those two passions of dancing at that level and then being immersed in incredible sports culture was so amazing. And of course, then going to one of the best journalism schools in the world, in the country, was awesome. And then, of course, I was able to take my talents to the NFL and go to the professional level and dance for a couple of years. And then it was just time for me to focus full on as a journalist. And so for me, that was hopping around different small markets as a sports anchor. And all of a sudden, I realized when I left my last gig, it was about a little over a year ago, I left my last job. I was the sports anchor at the CBS affiliate in Eastern Washington. And I realized that I had missed out on this huge digital movement that was happening. So much was going on social media that I hadn't been able to focus on because I was so busy covering content for cable news. And nobody was consuming cable news anymore. Nobody was paying attention to that. You know, everyone is on their phones constantly, especially the younger generations. That's how they're getting their content and consuming news. And I realized, okay, I'm not getting calls anymore from all these networks I was working with. You know, we're talking about salary. You know, I think I'm going to this place, or I think I'm going to this place, like anybody is with their next job step. And then all of a sudden, there was radio silence. And I realized, okay, I can sit here and wait for another call, or I can, you know, just get really creative right now and decide to launch an online brand for myself. And I'm still going to be able to pursue my passion as a journalist, but it's just going to look a little bit different. And I think in the beginning, when I first started that, a lot of people doubted me because they didn't understand. You know, they would say, oh, well how are you gonna make money? Or well, do you still want to be a reporter? Like, I don't understand. And I had to just be very clear, like, yes, of course. But I'm now able to tell people stories in a completely different way. I have this platform that gives me the time to tell people stories thoroughly instead of just having a couple minutes on air to get a couple sound bites out, you know, or just a couple scores. This way I'm able to fully immerse not just like my guest, but myself also. Like, people get to know me. And so I'm loving that.
Wow, that is so phenomenal. That is just absolutely phenomenal. And I wanted to know, like, where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Orange County, California, which is a pretty affluent area. But I think what was really unique about my childhood was that I struggled a lot with just, like, as a kid, you know, because I was so focused as a competitive dancer all my life. I didn't have a normal childhood. I missed out on a lot of the normal things. I didn't go to high school parties, you know, I didn't do any of the fun things that most kids did growing up. And sure, a lot of that was frustrating at the time, but I look back on it and I developed all of these skills at a very young age that prepared me for life now and all the challenges that I face. I've really struggled with my mental health at a really young age. I was diagnosed with severe clinical depression at a pretty young age, early on in high school, and faced a lot of my troubles. You know, I had a really, really hard time acknowledging that I was struggling. And once I got a handle on that, and I was also dealing with some internal health issues, there were just a lot of things going on that, for me, I just felt like, oh, the world is against me. And again, it was just one of those moments where I had to realize, okay, like, I can either let all of this defeat me and, you know, take naps all the time and be tired, because I was really tired, or I can buck up and figure out a way to make myself, you know, like, make myself accountable, like, be accountable, show up, whatever it may be, and just try my best. And also learning that sometimes, like, I'm not going to be the best at everything. I'm not going to be the most talented person in the room. That was something that was really hard for me to learn. So growing up such an area like that was hard.
Is it because of your competitive nature and the high standards that
you hold
for yourself? Because,
for sure, definitely.
Like, 'cause I call it the perfectionist syndrome. Perfectionist syndrome says, if it's not perfect, then it's not worth it. And I feel like sometimes when we have that mentality, it's like an all or nothing mentality. And that also can lead to a lot of depression as well.
Exactly. No, you're so, so right. And I was my biggest enemy. You know, I was so competitive against myself. Of course, there were other people I competed against in life, but I even attribute it to being young and remembering teachers posting grades up, you know, like posting grades up on the back wall. And so everybody knew what each other's grades were. And to me, like, I look back on that and I just think that's ridiculous. Like, why have kids competing like that at such a young age? You know, we already are so competitive in other natures and we're all competitive in our sports. But I just felt like I grew up in this environment where everything was always like, you had to be the best, you know, you had to have the best grades. Oh, and if you're going to a dance, you need to buy the most expensive thing, whatever it may be. Like, there was just so much focus on image or, or getting into the best college, whatever it may be. So learning, like, take the B, that's what something for me was really hard, was like, doesn't matter, you don't need to get the A+, get the A-, like, take the B+.
Yeah.
You know, it's still great. And I think I got really good at that in college. I didn't have a perfect 4.0. I, like, had a fantastic GPA, but I let myself, like, just be a little bit, you know?
Yeah. You allow yourself to give a little room to grow and to basically say, you know what? It's going to be okay. I don't have to always be the best. Ooh, I think you got kind of knocked off here. Give me one second here. Was that me or was that you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I might have touched something on my phone.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I think we got to give ourselves a little bit of room, right? A little bit of grace, you know? And that's another thing I wanted to ask you. What would you say is your guiding philosophy? Like a like a code that you live by or something like that? Are you a spiritual person? Are you a religious person? What is something that, yeah, that guides your state or who you are as a individual?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great question. I really have noticed that I got closer to God when I stopped, you know, worrying so much about my path, you know, like once I just let go and realized, wow, there's not one right way to get to the top or to get to where I always imagined I would be. I always thought, okay, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get into this college and I'm going to, you know, dance at this level and then I'm going to have all of these jobs and I'm going to work at all these stations and that's going to get me to ESPN or that's going to get me to Fox Sports, whatever it may be. But then I realized, wow, our world is constantly changing. There are so many different ways for us to achieve greatness and for us to get to the top, and not some, and one person's success story is not going to work for somebody else next.
That's true.
You
That's
know,
true.
Like, and comparing ourselves with each other is the worst. Like, it, I always used to
absolute
comparing
worst.
Myself with other women in the industry, and then I realizing I need to celebrate their successes, because if I can celebrate their successes, then I can be, learn to be happy for my little successes that seem, you know, different at the time, but are really truly leading me to ultimately what God's goal is for me.
Exactly. I absolutely like what you're saying in terms of, you know, having the right perspective and pursuing that deeper level, because I feel like in a lot of our culture, we don't really emphasize the spiritual. A lot of things are very superficial. It's like certain imagery that we have that's always focused on the outside, and that's something that I've had friends of mine that were cheerleaders and that kind of thing. Did you ever feel like being in the NFL, being a cheerleader, did you ever feel like, hey, you know, this is, because it's an art form, it's a very rigorous art form, and I think it's it needs to be an Olympic sport if it already isn't. Is cheerleading an Olympic sport?
No, technically not, but they have world championships and stuff. So
yeah, yeah, because it's extremely grueling. Oh, I've had friends that were like competitive cheerleaders. Oh my goodness, the level of physicality that you have to go through, you have no idea unless you've actually seen them train. Did you ever feel in any instances that you felt like, hey, I'm a cheerleader and people are like objectifying me or just like sexually profiling me in certain ways? Did you ever feel that or you never really got that kind of vibe?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. But I think when you're going into it, when you're going into a program like Oregon, where the Oregon cheerleaders are known for being not only one of the best programs in the nation, but also being beautiful. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of articles came out before I even made the team that was all about just like the looks of the cheerleaders at that school. And so I think for me, I really went into all of this knowing that. And so having a strong head on my shoulders and knowing how to direct people whenever anyone would make comments or view me a certain way was really important for me. And especially like in the NFL, we were so protected by the organization, which was fantastic. But, you know, of course, there are always people who are going to treat you with respect or are going to see you a certain way. And for me, like, that's always a personal issue, whatever that may be with them. And the most fantastic thing to me has always been that I've been able to prove anybody who has ever had a negative view on whatever they think, whoever they think Bridget is, before they actually know Bridget, I've always been able to prove them wrong. You know, they've always said like, wow, you're not who I thought you were, because it's whatever it may be, stereotyping, objectifying, whatever it may be. So for me, it's kind of always that great challenge. I love that. And I don't always, it's not fun. Like, life isn't fun if everybody just like likes you immediately, right? Like, that's just, you know, life is not easy. So you know, it's provided me with these good challenges and also with a lot of great life skills with how to cope with difficult people.
Yeah, that is so true. Yeah, you learn so much from dealing with challenging people, you know. I always like the story of the boy that saw the caterpillar trying to wiggle its way out of the cocoon, and he went to help the caterpillar. He took a small little razor and tried to cut open the cocoon, but the problem was as he was cutting the cocoon so that the butterfly can obviously emerge, the wings of this butterfly, they malfunctioned, because the butterflies, they have to struggle out of the cocoon so that they release a certain liquid that will allow them to have enough weight in the wings to fly. And many times in life, God allows us to go through a certain level of difficulty and a certain level of struggle as we are matriculating, because we need to kind of go through it so that we could actually do it. And we need to go through it so that we can build those muscles. And if everything is given to you, or like you like don't have any sort of challenges, it's going to be hard to build up those resistances, you know? And so I feel like exactly. Resistance is always, we don't like it. You know, even right now, like how are you holding up with all this COVID-19 stuff?
Well, I mean, I think about it like exactly what you said, like building up resistance, just like building up immunity to the challenges in the world. You know, you're never really going to develop the skill to survive if you've never failed. And so for me, I really do feel bad for everybody who has suffered during this time. I do not take this time lightly. Like, I know we are dealing with a worldwide pandemic, of course, and it's a health hazard. But honestly, it has been a huge blessing in disguise for me, because I've learned so many things about myself. I've learned how self-sufficient I am, how I can keep operating, how I can work during this time while a lot of people, you know, are losing jobs or don't know what to do or are bored in the house. They're sitting at home watching Netflix. And for me, I don't have enough time. Like, today was one of my freest days, and I was like, I'm just getting out of the house because there's a ton of construction going on, and I am working in the house obviously nonstop every single day, and I'm like, I just need to get out for a couple minutes to get my head right. So it's like, for me, I really realized, wow, I'm very blessed to have been able to, I think, develop a lot of skills ahead of this time so that I'm able to help others cope during this time. Because of course there's some days where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just want this to end. But really, truly, I will be honest, so honest with you, Gibson, like, I've seen this time as a huge blessing in disguise, because it's been a lot of time for me to reflect, to figure out what are things I need to work on, how I can improve myself as a human being, how I can improve, you know, the projects that I'm working on, what I can do, and also just how I can be more sensitive to others and what other people are going through, and who I might have not reached out to enough when we weren't in COVID time, you know, thinking about all those other things that I've not really had time to think about.
Yeah, I think at the end, we're going to be better for it. You know, I think we're going to be better for it. It's like when you break a leg or break an arm, when it heals, it becomes the strongest bone in your body. So I do really feel like we're going to be better for it. We're going to be stronger for it. So tell me a little bit about your company. What are the two like main things that your company does and everything like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, technically my company is Case Industries, because I have like a lot of different ventures going on, but my main brand that people know that I operate under is After Orange Slices, and it started originally as a podcast, and it's developed into a lot more. But now I run two podcasts. I've got After Orange Slices, and then I've got Turbo Talk, which I co-host and produce with Super Bowl champion Robert Turbin. And we've got a couple other things in the works. You know, I'm launching my Twitch show. Of course, I've got my IG live show that I do, you know, that's obviously fun, but it's also so fulfilling and been a great platform for a lot of people, you know, every single day. But there's a lot of other things that I have operating. I mean, it's quite insane. I never thought I would need so much help. I mean, you know, Chelsea.
Yes.
He's like a saving grace for me. Like, I would not be able to operate without her. It is unreal. And I never thought, honestly, that I would get to that point of like needing so much help from somebody else. And that's hard for me, like realizing, oh, it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
Or, you know, delegating tasks, not doing everything myself, you know, because I do a lot of, I do a lot of video editing. I have a lot of work that, and I'll, I do produce some other content for other brands. And so it's like, there are so many things that I'm always doing, and it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
And I think it's really a big step when you're somebody who has operated on your own for so long to realize, wow, like, it's okay to give up some responsibilities.
Yes.
I mean, for me, I
you're growing, you're expanding, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, I came from cable television where, you know, I'm working in local news and I'm a sports anchor. So of course I'm going out and I'm shooting my own live shots. I'm writing all my own scripts. I'm producing and editing and reporting at my own, anchoring my own show. So it's like, I've developed all of the skills that I need to, again, be fully self-sufficient, be a one woman band, and do all of these things that I need to do to succeed. And that's why I think for me, it was so easy, not easy, it was easy,
seamless.
Seamless to transition into the digital world, because I realized, wow, like, I have all the tools in my back pocket that I need to find success here. I just got to figure out what the difference is between operating on a cable news show versus, you know, operating digitally. So those have been my challenges, and of course, you know, dealing with difficult personalities, whatever it may be. But truly for me, like, I think that all the challenges that I faced over the years and learning to accumulate so many skills just as a journalist have made me into the very diverse journalist that I am now, adapting to the times.
And what advice would you give to someone that is maybe not as entrepreneurial as yourself, but they're looking to jump into it? What advice would you give them?
Just start. Like, don't be afraid. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about this. Whatever it may be, whatever your platform is, your first podcast, your first product, your first speech online, whatever it may be, you might only have one viewer, one listener, and it could be your mom. Who knows? But that doesn't matter, because that means you're just going to grow from there. And you have nothing to lose, honestly. Like, if people can find you and consume your content somehow, you're doing something right. Like, put your stuff out there. Get yourself out there. Just try. You're never going to learn until you've failed. And for me, it's been a ton of trial and error. That really has been what has worked for me. And realizing, oh, okay, well, that doesn't work. Guess I'm not going to do that anymore. But realizing, okay, I'm going to stick with what works. But I'm also going to keep trying to mess up, make mistakes, learn from those, and just keep growing. Because, again, you never know who you're reaching. And that first episode, that first product, whatever you may put out, maybe that first day no one sees it, but eventually, because you've had it out there for so long, and if you're consistent, and if your product, your voice, whatever it may be, is good and you're pure, so much people are eventually going to become calling, are going to come calling, because people crave that and they need somebody to listen to, or somebody to, show them the way, whether it be a product, a voice, a podcast.
Yeah, they say, as they say, real recognize real. And on your podcast, After Orange Slices, first of all, what does the name mean, After Orange Slices?
Yeah, so it comes from, being a young kid and having a lot of memories, you know, as an athlete. Most of us remember playing youth sports, and at the end of a game, their team mom has a snack, you know, and it might be Gushers or Capri Sun or whatever it may be. A lot of times, though, it's Orange Slices. And so I have all these memories at such a young age of having Orange Slices after a game or after a competition. And for me, just that memory that is so pure and so just like blissful in my mind, and being able to transfer it into my adulthood. You know, I dealt with struggles my entire life. And of course, for anybody, transitioning out of sport is difficult. So I wanted to be able to tell those stories and tell people, here's what life looks like after Orange Slices, or tell the stories of athletes who are currently still competing, but what are they doing when they are off the field, off the court? You know, really showing the human side of anybody who competes at an elite level.
Top two interviews you've had that really shocked you, just like you had no idea that they were going to say this and it just took you in another.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, who's your top two?
Okay, so definitely. So my first one would be Julie Heldman. She is a former professional tennis player. She played back with Billie Jean King. She actually beat Billie Jean King. She was one of the original Virginia Slims. She was one of the original women who fought to get equal pay in women's tennis. And basically, you know, they were the first real, like, women professional tennis players. And they basically made women's sports what it is today. I mean, the reason that women are even, like, able to excel to this level, we can thank the women from the Virginia Slims like, it's crazy how much these women have done. And so what Julie went through, because her mother, Gladys Heldman, was, she was the one who was fronting this movement. She started World Tennis Magazine, but her mother was completely abusive. And Julie Heldman ended up getting diagnosed bipolar and dealt with all of these issues in her life. And, you know, she ended up losing her mother to suicide. And there were just so many things that Julie faced in her life and realized that tennis, you know, really was at the center of it all. And was it fun? Was it not? You know, what was going on? And so now Julie finally has written this book, coming out, telling her story. It's so beautiful. And then my second favorite interview is absolutely with Dan Devaney and Walter Bailey, who are two college football stars. They played back in the 80s and 90s. And they originally met back when they were children. Walter was like 11, Dan was 17, and they played a game of catch. They both went to go play college football, and one day Dan was trying to, you know, they both went down the rabbit hole, ended up getting really mixed up in drugs and alcohol. Dan one day was ready to end his life and was looking for a gun in a car, and a cop found him. And eventually what happened was the cop did not take him to jail. Instead, he called a halfway house, or like a recovery center in Portland. And the guy who answered, he said, "Is that Dan Devaney?" And he said, "Yes." He's like, "Tell him this is Walter Bailey." He said, "He was my hero growing up." And so basically the young kid, the young boy who had ridden his bike to practice every day to see this older boy, you know, at practice, ended up going down and saving Dan's life. It's so beautiful. And now they tell their story and they live a sober life together. It's unbelievable. And they're just, they're so amazing.
Wow, that is a powerful story. Wow.
Yeah. So just, you know, getting to meet people like that and tell these incredible stories and empower others, it's so rewarding to me.
It is. It's absolutely wow. It's you've had an incredible life. You really have had an incredible life, you know. And I'm so grateful to know you. So we've talked about your career. We've talked about I wanted to bring up people that are struggling with depression. What advice would you give them? Like, especially now, people are in the house. People are struggling. What, like, I want you to just basically look into that camera and speak to that person that is that's listening or that's watching and is depressed and is in a very dangerous place. So go for it.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, I've been there, and so many people have been there who will never tell you and never admit to it. So it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to get medical help, get, you know, help from a family member, whatever it may be. But do be careful about who you ask. I know for me, the biggest struggle was when I tried to ask for help. I cried out to a lot of people that didn't really understand, right? So you've got to find your circle, those people who support you, and those people who are going to build you up and aren't going to push you down because they see your struggles with mental illness or your struggles with mental health, they see those as a burden. You need to find people who want to help you. And maybe that starts with going to therapy. Maybe that starts with having a talk with your best friend or your husband or your mom, whatever it may be. Just start a conversation. And if you need resources, there are a ton online. Please feel free to DM me. I love getting DMs from people who will say, you know, I listened to an episode or I saw this post, whatever it may be, and you helped me, you know, want to go see a therapist, whatever, and or like there have been so many amazing messages that I've received. But I will tell you, like, half the time on those days have been my hardest days. And I always tell people, oh my gosh, thank you for sending that message, because for me, I just had the shittiest day. I, you know, couldn't get out of bed for the longest time. You know, I was feeling so down on myself. I felt like, you know, the world was ending around me. I felt like I had no friends. I feel like that. Like, there are times. So I just want people to know you are not alone and you are not crazy. Do not let anybody ever make you feel that way, and just ask for help.
Wow. You said it. Wow. And who's been, it can be anybody from history or anybody in your life. Who are like top three people that have influenced you, that made you into this vibrant, intelligent, and communicative individual that you are, who are the top three people in your life that you always go back to?
I mean, I've definitely got to say my parents are incredible. They are amazing, amazing people who have had to work for every single thing that they have earned. And they have taught me the power of work ethic from a very, very young age, but also they never gave up on me. So seeing that in them, they never gave up on me when I tested them, when I was a struggling adolescent, when I lashed out on them because it was easy, when they're my punching bag because I'm dealing with an episode, you know, my depression was might get so bad that that's my safety net, you know, and I lash out on them, but they've never given up on me. And they don't let me take the easy way out. That's not the point, but they have never stopped believing in me and never stopped loving me. And to me, that just exemplifies what incredible human beings they are and what I want to be like. And I mean, like, I know I'm trying to think of more people in this world that I guess want to follow, but really it's like my circle, my family is so important to me. My older cousin, she is like my big sister because I don't have sisters. And she has always been there for me through anything, you know, like any insecurity that I've dealt with. She has always pushed me to realize my worth and also to recognize, stop comparing myself to other women. Like that was something that was really hard for me because I was always like, well, I want what she has, you know, or I don't have as many friends as her, or I don't have that job, whatever it may be. And she has taught me that, like, if anything, that's just not the important thing. The important thing is to be truly Bridget. And like, whenever I think about that, I'm like, do I really want that person's life? No. Like, I would love being Bridget. Like, there are so many incredible things about me. But sometimes there are days where we forget that. And so, again, surround yourself with people who remind you of that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I always like to do this is I want you to think about the people that mean a lot to you, the people that, like you said, your mom and your family. And this is a bit morbid, I know, but this is like, they're like, basically, this is, they're looking at you in a casket, okay? And what do you want people to say about you? In other words, what do you want your final analysis, your final legacy to be? Bridget Case was, you fill in the blank.
Was selfless. I mean, that is really what I want people to know, is that I care. And, you know, of course I care about myself, but truly, I care so much, probably to the point of too much for other people, but it's because I want other people to know, like, it's okay to ask for help. Like I've said, like, I want people to know it's okay to reach out. I am, like, filled with empathy to the point where it hurts. And I just know that that's what people, like, a lot of times will, it can be good or bad what they see with me, but I care so much for my community. No matter if I know you or not, I truly, truly care. And it comes from a good place. And, you know, there obviously have been times where people will say, oh, well, that's fake. But no, truly, like, I do care. And that is from my heart. And I know that that is what people would see. That would be my lasting legacy.
Well, that was that. I mean, my favorite quote is Mother Teresa, who always said that a life not lived for others is not worth living. And aren't we all,
exactly,
aren't we all supposed to be pencils in the hands of God, you know? So
exactly.
You are a wonderful soul. But I know we've been very serious and very, you know, like ethereal, but we're going to play a game. You ready for it? You like games?
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm all ready.
Now, the key to this game is it's only, you can only answer with one word, okay?
Oh,
rapid
God.
Succession. Okay. Here we go. What's the first thing you grab in the morning?
My toner.
What's that?
Skincare.
Oh, skincare. Okay. Biggest inspiration in life?
My parents.
What do you think people notice most about you?
My smile.
Who do you hope, or what do you hope people notice most about you besides your smile?
The reason I know that too is because I've done surveys. There's been surveys, you know, like in you're in a class or something, whatever. Good question. Kindness. I'd like kindness.
What's your biggest weakness?
Time management.
Biggest strength?
Work ethic.
What is the ideal perfect age to be?
Ooh, that's good. I think 40 is a great age.
40? Yeah, 40's in the 30 though. 40's in the 30, yep.
Exactly.
High school, awesome or terrible?
The worst.
So worse than terrible, wow. Cats or dogs? Cats or dogs?
Both, I have both, so I can't,
you know. What's your dog's name?
She's Stella Luna.
Stella, hi Stella. Adjective that best describes you when you're drunk.
Overly nice.
Okay. I let's go to the next question. What do you love most about your significant other?
I guess it's not one word. Can I say acts of service? Is that one word in there?
Yep, that's the love languages, right?
Okay.
Where do you want to go more than any other place in the world?
I really want to go to Sicily because that's where my family's from, and my parents have been to Italy like 4 times, never taken me.
Well, next time they'll take you. They'll take you, or you could just sneak in the suitcase.
Exactly.
Beaches or snow?
No.
Your absolute number one biggest pet peeve?
Oh, when people tell me I'm sunburned, because it's like I already know.
Okay. What is one personality trait that you simply don't even have the time for?
Oh my gosh. Okay, how do I put this into one word?
Okay, you can have 3 words, okay?
Girls who take too long to get ready.
Now, are you a fast dresser?
Yes.
Oh my
god. Really fast. Well, yeah. No, inefficiency. That's maybe inefficiency.
Okay. Do you believe in life after death?
Yes.
What does someone have to do to instantaneously get on your good side?
Give me a hug.
So people can just walk up to you and just give you a hug?
Not strangers. Okay, that's not, yeah.
It's got to be in context.
Ooh, yeah, exactly.
What do they have to do to get on your bad side?
Ignore me.
All right, is it okay to sleep with socks?
Oh, yeah.
Coffee or tea?
I do both. But more tea. We talked about this before.
Okay. What is your love language?
I receive in acts of service. And so I technically think that's what like my love language is supposed to be.
Okay. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. You believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
What's your biggest vice?
Good question. What's yours?
Do you want me to say it on live right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Wow, the interviewee turned into the interviewer.
Flipped it.
My biggest vice, I would say, is sometimes when I get emotional, I can kind of eat a lot of sweets and maybe some junk food that can be not as...
I would go in that direction.
Yeah.
So
I would say emotional eater.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's pretty descriptive, because I was going to say eating junk, but yeah, because of emotions, yes.
Yeah. So that's my
mostly like sweets.
Yes.
And sweets. I don't even really have that big of a sweet tooth. So
yeah, it's because of the endorphins it releases in our brains. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram?
Instagram.
Okay. Favorite musical artist?
Oh, Stevie Nicks.
Oh, great. Are you right brained or left brained?
Right brained.
And the right brain is in charge of what?
Creative.
Okay. And left brain is more analytical, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you prefer to ask for permission or ask for forgiveness?
I prefer to ask for forgiveness, but often I do ask for permission per the situation.
Okay. Are there any situations in which lying is okay and understandable?
Oh, yeah.
Love or money? Which one would you pick?
Money.
Whoa! She just dropped
the ball. I have enough love. Like, the thing is I'm so lucky. Like, I know that I'm going to be loved no matter what.
You going for the money. All right. Impulsive or methodical?
Ooh. I am actually surprisingly the methodical.
Okay. TV shows or movies?
TV shows.
Books or magazines?
Magazines.
Which is more preferable, being nice or being fair?
Being fair.
What is the ultimate key to happiness?
Forgiveness.
I've had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much, Gibson, for having me. This is so awesome.
Yeah, you rock. And what's the best way for us to get in contact with you again?
Yeah, so you can absolutely find me on my Instagram at AfterOrangeSlices or on my Twitter at BridgetCase_. Or you can go to my website at BridgetCase.com.
Well, this was a very, very great conversation with a very great person. And I want to say to you, it has been a plum pleasing pleasure and a privilege to be in your presence, even though it's over.
Oh, screen. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fantastic.
You get two thumbs up. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much, Gibson. Stay healthy.
All right. Thank you so much. Ta-ta for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. It has been a pleasure and a privilege. Please go to GibsonSylvester.com/podcast to find out more about this podcast and also to browse helpful resources that will help you in your personal and business life. Thank you very much.